you enjoy Coffeehouse Shots from The Spectator, then why not check out Spectator TV? Every Thursday night, Andrew Neil and a collection of guests, as well as The Spectator's home team, bring you analysis on the latest developments in current affairs, coronavirus, and more. Brought to you in conjunction with the NatWest Group.
Hello and welcome to Coffeehouse Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The government has come under fire from its own backbenches as it prepares to renew the Coronavirus Act. An amendment is being proposed which would ensure that Parliament can vote on the emergency measures that ministers might wish to take. Steve Baker, the former Brexit minister, told Sophie Ridge why he would be supporting the amendment.
You previously said it's time for us to actually start living like a free people, not subjecting ourselves to constantly shifting legal requirements. What exactly do you mean? What are your concerns?
Well, 100 Acts of Parliament have been used to put in place, I think it's 242 statutory instruments. The Telegraph has reported, I think it was yesterday, that there have been 200 changes. Well, when you've got a body of law that large, changing that fast, I doubt really anyone understands what that law is, much beyond the people who wrote the frequently asked questions available on the gov.uk website, which now run to 22 pages when you print them. So we're in an environment where you really can't know whether you're a criminal or not with this much law coming into force and changing so fast. And that's why I've said this is not a fit environment for free people.
You know, being so you don't feel that we're being treated like a free people at the minute?
That's what I'm saying, absolutely, yes. I mean, how do people think that liberty dies? It dies like this, with government exercising draconian powers without parliamentary scrutiny in advance, undermining the rule of law by having a shifting blanket of rules that no one can understand. I mean, it's extremely serious. I don't think I look like a hysterical person to you. I'm saying that this is a very serious moment.
The Shadow Justice Secretary, David Lammy, attacked the government over the plight faced by this year's batch of university students and told Andrew Marr about Labour's festive policy proposal aimed at cheering them up.
Labour is calling for students to come home for Christmas, is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously we want young people home with their families at Christmas time and they need the testing to make sure that that can happen.
Is that not just a way of super spreading the virus all around Britain? We know it's clustered in universities, and if you let students go all over the country, they're going to take it everywhere else.
By Christmas, we would have had the coronavirus for 9 months that we couldn't get a test, track and trace system in place by then has got to be described as pathetic. Of course we should be able to get students back with their families after a term at university.
Because your Welsh leader, Mark Drakeford, takes a slightly different view. He said that it's important to contemplate keeping students in universities, in his words, because it's true that as people move and travel across the United Kingdom, then that increases the risk of the virus moving with them.
Look, Andrew, students have been done over on their A-levels. They've been done over on Freshers' Week. The government's now threatening to lock them up at university. And very worrying for them, when they graduate, we may be looking at long-term youth unemployment. It's important to get the students the kit so that they can do their lessons virtually. Universities have been doing loads to plan for their students. Many are offering tests. They need support from the government. Gavin Williamson needs to come to the House tomorrow and explain what he's going to do to make sure that our young people can receive their education, and virtually, probably, for many of them, and they can get the testing that they now deserve.
The Culture Secretary, Oliver Dowden, defended the government's approach to getting students back to universities, despite the difficulties that the latest restrictions imposed.
In respect of universities, young people have paid a huge price during this crisis, and I think it's only fair to try and get them back. We've got very clear guidelines for them to follow.
I'm sorry to jump in again, yes. But they're paying a huge price in terms of their tuition fees for tuition they're not getting in the way they'd expected, and they're paying rents in terms of student accommodation, where they are locked in at the moment. They are not getting anything like the experience they signed up for. Should they not at least get some of their money back?
Well, clearly the experience is not as it would be given this crisis, but we're doing that in order to reduce the spread of the disease, enable them to go back at all. And I think it's important for students not to have to give up a year of their life by not going to university, and they are going to university and paying the fees accordingly.
However, Dowden was non-committal about the likelihood of students being allowed to travel home for the holidays.
Should university students be allowed to go home in the holidays?
Well, of course, I very much want students to be able to go home
at Christmas. And if we all pull together and observe these new rules, we follow the guidance, then we will be able to get to a point where that should be possible. But I have to say to you, Sophie, that Labour raising this, it all fits a bit with what I heard from the Shadow Education Secretary a couple of days ago, saying not let a good crisis go to waste. There's no difference between us. We both want to ensure that students can return at Christmas. And rather than sort of playing politics with this, I'd rather Labour was urging everyone to work together to achieve this outcome.
At the same time, though, you know, you're in no way saying that it is certain that university students will be able to go home at Christmas. So saying that's only possible if, you know, everyone does the right thing and manages to get the virus under control. That's going to be quite concerning for people.
Well, we're 3 months away from Christmas. We've announced a range of measures. We are constantly keeping this situation under review, taking the necessary measures to keep the virus under control. All of that is designed to ensure that we keep the virus under control in a way that will enable people to continue to live their lives normally and or as normally as possible in this situation. So, of course, we want to avoid that situation. But I don't think it's helpful at this stage, 3 months away, to speculate on that. The thing we should be focusing on now is ensuring that we actually take these measures and abide by them.
Ridge questioned Dowden about the candidates for the next heads of both Ofcom and the BBC. It has been rumoured that the Prime Minister's favoured candidates are the former Daily Mail editor Paul Dacre for Ofcom and The Spectator's own Charles Moore for the BBC.
Paul Dacre and Charles Moore seem to be the Prime Minister's choices. Are they your first choice too?
Well, I think let's separate them out. They're two very different appointments. First of all, in respect of the chair of the BBC, what we're looking for is a strong, big person who can hold the BBC to account. And there's three things that I've been talking about with the BBC. First of all, ensuring there's genuine impartiality. Secondly, ensuring the BBC is up to the challenges of the future as we move from analogue through digital to platform technology. Huge changes for the BBC. And then thirdly, ensuring that the BBC represents all parts of our nation, not just narrow metropolitan areas, the London, centre of London, Bristol, Birmingham and so on. All
so do you parts think that's the what United the BBC Kingdom. Is doing now then?
Well, I think they're working towards it, and I think Tim Davey has made good progress with it. But it is important that we have a genuine, robust scrutiny of the BBC, and looking forward to driving that agenda.
Although Dowden was cautious, Steve Baker strongly backed both candidates.
There are reports this morning that Paul Dacre, the former editor of the Daily Mail, a critic of the BBC, is Boris Johnson's top choice for the job of Ofcom chairman. Is that an appointment you'd welcome?
Of course it is, yes, I'd be delighted. And of course I'd like to see Charles Moore go in as chairman of the BBC. I think this would be great news. And I think anyone suggesting we were somehow appointing our preferred people needs to look at the record of others who've been appointed to these roles and try to be a bit, again, more realistic about politics and policy and who should be appointed by governments.
Why would it be great news then?
Well, because they're Conservatives and they might actually start to look at the way the media functions and ensure there's some impartiality. I can assure you that from my point of view, time and again during interviews, I've felt that there was a consensus thought on the side of the broadcaster, which was not on the side of moderate mainstream conservatism. So I look forward to them perhaps being appointed and being a bit more conservative and pragmatic in what is reported.
The Director General of the CBI, Carolyn Fairbairn, told Ridge of the impact of the latest coronavirus restrictions on businesses.
The restrictions were really disappointing for business. I think firms have understood all the way through this that health has to come first, and they also want to avoid a second lockdown above all else. But these are a real blow. The hospitality restrictions, the 10 p.m. curfew, these are all hitting businesses really, really hard. And the instruction for office workers to go back to work from home where they can, that is really affecting our city centres and the small businesses that depend on the hustle and bustle. But I think what it points to is two things, Sophie. One is we absolutely have to focus on trying to get our economy back open fully as quickly as we can. That's about getting testing right. I remain concerned that a lack of timely testing is really going to affect business. And the other thing is that it really does require the retraining and the agility to support our businesses back, because our economy is changing shape.
And finally, Professor Mark Woolhouse of the University of Edinburgh told Marr why he thought pursuing a national lockdown had been the wrong course of action in March.
When we started modelling this way back in March, before the first lockdown, it was very apparent from the work that my group did and many other groups did that all a lockdown ever did is defer the problem. It solves an immediate crisis because it reduces transmission quickly, but it doesn't actually solve the problem in the long term. It doesn't make the virus go away. So in the middle of March, we were modelling scenarios where it was entirely possible that we'd need to lock down again in September. And that's exactly the position we find ourselves in. Lockdown just defers the problem. It doesn't solve it.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes Store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.
Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.